Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're starting out a new piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago, and this one is entitled, God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense, and what it really should have been named was God Taught Me the Power of Spiritual Power, the power to not only stand in the Lord, but the power also to stop a dangerous storms, as Jesus did when he was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and also to stop people from being sick, from healing every manner of disease. The Lord taught me that spiritual power, and the power to also cause it to rain if there's a drought, and also the power to raise the dead. These are things that the Lord has already caused me to do. So many pastors, teachers, and preachers are talking about the miracles that Jesus did back then, but we are the continuation of the Lord's incarnation, and it is the true Spirit of the Lord in those of us that are filled with the Spirit, washing the blood of Jesus, and filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are the incarnation, the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. We're the very incarnation of God living in and through us, Christ with his Father by the Spirit. And I have proven there was a violent storm here just last night or the night before, and I just didn't want it to storm because my little girl was sometimes gets scared of it, so I just prayed to the Lord and told him to stop it. And immediately the storm was dissipated, and you wouldn't hear it thunder anymore. It was gone. There was no more lightning or anything. And some people, that is an eerie and very awesome thing to people, the power of God. And if you're sick or afflicted, God has given me the power to lay hands on people or even just pray with you on the telephone, and you are already healed. But, I mean, this just seems to be such a... Even to preachers today, all they do is talk about the miracles of the past, and yet the Lord wants me to teach you the secret of spiritual power, spiritual defense. In order to defend yourself spiritually, you must have God's power living in and through you. And if you want to, you know, if your loved ones are sick, or you yourself are sick, if you abide in the Lord, and abide in, that means abide in his teachings. The Lord even tells us the different things that we're supposed to eat. Now, I'm not the type of preacher that, you know, sets these different people on my program where they're just going to teach you all about health foods and things like that, because I myself, for years, was with the American Health Studios. We were the very first health studio chain, the largest on the face of this earth. And back then, we were considered to be some kind of a cult because they thought working out was really a bunch of thugs and muscle heads and things like that. But we were the first ones that opened the health studios or the health clubs to businessmen and women. We were the first ones to have piped in music, first ones to have carpet on the floors and mirrors throughout this the studio or the club, and to have mirrors on the wall, closing offices, steam rooms, Arizona rooms, dry rooms, massage. Back then, when massage was not a dirty word, we had masseurs for the men, and in the silhouette figure form, we had masseuses for the women. But I'm not the type of person that likes to flaunt everything that I know on the air, or I'm not going to take up precious time to talk about health foods. However, the Lord does have a law of the things that you're supposed to eat, and if you abide in the word that he gives us in regard to the eating, he says he puts the herbs of the field there for the maintenance of our body, and he tells us not to eat swine, because it's an abomination, it's filthy, it's the same thing as eating mice and all these things. And no, at this late day, this is around 50 years later, and see, I was in the health studios and when I was 21 years old, and now I'm going on 72, so I know from where I speak, I'm still very good friends of Charlie Tartella and Ray Wilson and Herb Calhoun. These were the leaders in the health studio business, and Ray Wilson is still a big mover and shaker in the health club business to this very day. He was a major stockholder in the 24-hour health club chains, and they just sold out for $1.6 billion. I was just over at Ray Wilson's house in the California, out near San Diego. It's a place called Carlsbad, where a place there is called La Costa. He had a beautiful $7 million home. He's very successful throughout the world in the health studio business. And if anyone knows about health studio, we used to sponsor the Mr. America contest, Mr. Universe contest. We had Steve Reeves working for us, Gene Mansfield, Mickey Hargitay, and a host of other Mr. Universes and Mr. Americas. And we sponsored those contests. And the people that you see in the health studio business today are just spin-offs of us. We were the very first and the foremost. But I'm not going to spend my time teaching you about health. You can learn that right from the Bible. You don't have to listen to these nutritional, quote, nutritional experts if you don't want to. Some of them have found the truth after all these days. I used to tell people about these same things years ago, but they didn't have any interest in it. It was like talking to a blank wall. But I can talk very extensively on those subjects if necessary, but I'm too busy in the ministry now. The main thing I'm trying to do is tell you, read your Bible, and you'll learn all about things not to eat. We don't. The Bible tells you not to eat shellfish because this will cause terrible diseases to you, not to eat fat because this will clog up your arteries. God commands that you don't eat fat, the fat from animals. Now, there's some good fats and stuff, but I'm not going to get into all that right now. And believe me, I really could if I wanted to use up this precious time to teach you the gospel. I could really go on health products and so on. I would say at least 90% of the stuff in health food stores is junk. And there's so many different books out with new theories and everything, and it's just junk. And you really, I have a strong contact with the Lord to tell me whether some of these new products have any goodness to them whatsoever. Some do and some don't. And so if you want to find out, you know, I don't know if I have time, you can write in and ask, but that isn't what I'm all about. I'm not what what they call a person that has gone through nutritional, I'm not a nutritional expert. But I believe I am more qualified to tell you about nutrition than many of these people that call themselves nutrition experts, and all they're doing is polyparroting the things that we have known for years. Like they're telling you not to eat dairy and not to eat pork and not to eat shellfish and things like this. I've been telling people that for 50 years. When my dad had bad heart trouble, and they said, oh, I can't tell him anything about that because or lecithin and things like that that are really good for you. Right now I'd like to get up to the Lord's business right here of what he wants me to tell you this evening. Not what he wants. I want him to tell you what he wants to tell you through me. You know, because the Holy Spirit is in operation today just as it was back in the days when he created the heavens and the earth. That same power is living in me, and also I'm sure it must be living in other people. I don't think of myself as being any big deal. I'm nothing but for the Lord God living in and through me by his Spirit. The entire Godhead is living in me, and he could live in you, and you could be doing greater things than what Christ did with us as a corporate body. There certainly isn't going to be any major work done if it isn't done in a corporate body of Christ, which is the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ, which is the actual true church of God. So the thing that we need to do is just let's get up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service so that you can learn about the Lord. Now, you can buy all kinds of health books and stuff, so I'm not going to bore you to death with that. I've talked myself blue in the face when I first found out about health foods and about eating pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, which are fantastic because they're vitamins that you can't get out of any vitamin. They're the best. Pinion seeds, pinion nuts, and things like that, and other things. But let's go to the throne and let's talk about the spiritual meat and the spiritual water that cometh down from the throne of God. Father God, we ask you to pour out your spirit on the congregation that we have out in Radio Land and those that you're attempting to influence to get into your body. Lord, I ask that everything that is done in this service comes right from the throne of you, that it's you that talks through me and not any words that I say this evening that comes from me, only the voice of you to come through. Lord, you said you'd pour out your spirit upon all flesh in these last days, and you do that primarily by piping your spirit through us and unto others. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, for the open door, and for the way that we're able to, that you're able to minister through us on radio, and possibly again on television. There seems to be an open doors for that. And Lord, I just pray that you do all the talking, and that I do all the listening, and that everybody else out in Radio Land does all the listening, because many of the things that might be said on this program, I'll be listening for it too, as well as them. And we'll all learn together. And I ask, Lord, that the souls will be saved, and that the church of God, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, will be lifted up higher on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, on the solid Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you have letters?
Yes.
All right, where's the first one from?
From Kampala, Uganda, Africa.
Okay.
Dear our beloved Pastor Olamo, we really love you here in our ministry in Uganda, and all those brethren who suffer together with you in the work of our Lord. Recently, in November 2005, I preached in Rwanda, and I distributed your soul-winning literature to many people, and so many of them repented of their Catholicism belief. Let me tell you, Pastor, I set so many idols and pictures of Mary on fire, and I destroyed without mercy all the doctrine of the devil.
Well, see, Mary is not of the was not of the devil, but to worship her is of the devil. I'm not of the devil, but it would be of the devil for you to worship me. Many of the people in our church are not of the devil, but it's and also Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Cyrus, and all these people were not of the devil, but it's of the devil to worship them. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because we're not deity. Never was, but now we're part of God. We're part of the body of Christ. But we're not to be worshipped. We're part of the body of Christ because we worship Christ. We worship God in Christ Jesus. All right? So let's get that straight. Now, what else?
I preached out of that literature entitled Mass Suicide. They asked me to go back there for 2 weeks from January 28, 2006. Please, Pastor, pray for me because you know very well how much we suffer to preach the truth. Because some preachers have started to call me a cult here in our country.
Oh, yeah, all the religions will call you a cult. Jesus said so. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted and shall be falsely spoken of. And, Father, we ask that you pour out your spirit on this brother and his all of his companions, those that are in the gospel field. Lord, build a wall of fire around and about him. And we pray that those that are mocking him, that they that mock you by saying that you were a cult, that you had the spirit of Satan in you. This is such a heinous thing to so violently trample underfoot the blood, your blood and your ministry, and that, Lord, that they don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. because this truly is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit for people in these false religions that don't have you living in them, for them to call the work, the true work of God, the true body of Christ, the true bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, to be calling, and we're the incarnation of you, you're actually living us, to be calling us a cult. You warned the people that were telling you these things back in that day that you're in danger of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there is no forgiveness for it, because this takes a special reprobate, a special person that is under such delusion, to blaspheme, to say such wicked and evil things. It takes a special wickedness. It is like so damning that people would say these things, that there actually is no coming back for it. And I would caution all those out in Radio Land and throughout the entire world that you never, ever call any Christian, especially those that are ministering properly through the Holy Spirit, that you say that they are a cult or the devil is in them, because the very spirit that is in us is the Holy Spirit. And if you call that satanic, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that on this side of eternity or in eternity itself. So be careful. I mean, protect your soul. Don't be foolish. Don't be... you're committing spiritual suicide to do such a thing as that. Don't do it. It's a warning now from the Almighty God, who is speaking directly through me. And if you say, well, that's a bunch of bunk, well, you'll see when we stand at the judgment bar of God. God doesn't want your soul to go to hell, and I don't either. Okay, continue on.
Some preachers have started to call me a cult here in our country for preaching and distributing the truth from your messages.
Right, they say that about Jesus even. They said, you know, that you're casting out devils by the power of the devil. The spirit that's in you is Beelzebub, which is actually a synonym for Satan. They're saying that his spirit was Satan casting out devils. And that's when Jesus warned them. He said, Satan will not cast out Satan. And God will not cast his own out either. He said, this is an unforgivable sin to say that the Spirit, the finger of God, that's casting demons out and healing people and raising people from the dead, that that's Satan. You wicked reprobate, there isn't anyone more wicked than you. And that's why there is no reconciliation for you to the Lord. You're damned forever. Okay, go ahead.
Now I ask you to send me the 400 Bibles, Messiah books, different messages of all kind, and the Malachi Martin book entitled The Keys of This Blood.
Okay, now the Bible tells us that the church, that the Satan's Antichrist church, or it is the real cult, sits in Rome. And Malachi Martin is a advocate of the Roman Catholic cult. This is the very head of the Antichrist movement in the world today. The anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-people of God movement. And this Malachi Martin, my brother Danny interviewed him on his talk show in Nashville, Tennessee. And my brother sent me a book, that book of Malachi Martin. He's so pro Antichrist. He's very pro Malachi Martin, and he's pro the Pope and the Roman Catholic cult, which is the most damning, wicked cult on the face of this earth. So I would never buy or send you a book by Malachi Martin. He is the actual representative of the damning Pope who tells people not to read the Bible. So I don't know who told you about Malachi Martin, but he certainly is no someone that you don't want to read their writing. Read the Bible. Read my literature that the Lord has given me, and listen to my tapes, and listen to God with all your heart and soul, because The Lord is the one that we get the power from, and God is the Word. The Lord is the Word of God. And you can't, this is where you're going to get your power. This is where you're going to get the power to keep your mind off of people like Malachi Martin and those that he exalts, the evil one. So we have to separate ourselves completely from a lot of books. The Bible says, just seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll give you everything. Amen?
Amen.
All things shall be added unto you. Okay, continue on, please.
Send your audio and video, music, and messages. Please also, we need some money for translation in our native languages.
Okay, now to show you how smart I am, I told, I always tell people that want that, tell me how much the translations are. You're not telling me how much it is, okay, because I get translations from people that are translating at the United Nations. I don't believe in the United Nations, but some of the translators are on the up and up, and they will translate my literature. They've translated it into many different languages. And if you have translators that are as good or better than the ones that we have at the UN, which, again, we believe that the UN is part of the Antichrist, or is the actual government of the Antichrist cult in Rome, and the media is the voice of the Antichrist or Satan. If you could do it better, just this man is not telling me how much that would be. And so if you tell me that, and then who it is that I'd have to send the money to, you've got all these different native languages. Tell me, and then we'll compare it with the prices that we're paying for our translations now. And we'll go from there. Okay, and then what?
Thanks very much, and God bless you. Yours in Christ, Pastor John, from Kampala, Uganda, Africa.
Yeah. Okay, Pastor John, stay away from Malachi Martin and all those books like that that exalt the Pope, the Antichrist, the Church of Rome, the one that the Lord says is the mother of every abomination on earth, calls. I don't think the Lord likes that organization too much because God calls that organization the Great Whore, the Mother of Harlots. Now that, you know, those are fighting words if to those reprobates over there. But and they constantly are fighting God by trying to blot his name out of the world, out of the courtrooms, out of the schools, but they won't win. God, the Bible says that his cup of indignation, fiery indignation, is being filled to the brim, and he's going to pour out his wrath on these people when he gets to the point to where he gets ticked off so bad that he's not going to take it anymore. And then watch out. There's a lot of these different plagues that are happening on earth, like these tsunamis and earthquakes and things, and I swear to you before God that his word is true and his promises are true. It's not going to get any better, folks. There's always a lull before the storm, and there's some storms coming up that you're not going to want to be in if you're lost. I mean, you should read the Bible and see what's going to happen to this earth. I've written many pieces of literature on it, earthquake, mass suicide, and several others, and they're yours free of charge. We don't charge anything. Just specify whether you want a tape or a CD, because we have both, and they don't cost anything. Or you could tune into our website. In our website, you can get on there by typing out what?
AlamoMinistries.com.
That's simple, isn't it? Remember the Alamo. Alamo is spelled the same way as Alamo. AlamoMinistries.com. And you can read the literature and listen to the tapes. And we're putting on tapes in Spanish. One thing I'd really like, if there's any of you out there that interpret different languages, get our tapes in English and translate them into whatever language you know. We'll put them right on the Internet with your voice on there. And we'll also pay you something for doing it if you're not too expensive. But, you know, we want that on there, and we you go through a lot of of course, God gives us the finances anyway, but we will pay to get the Word of God out. All right? If you're a Russian, you'd like to do it in Russia, but the Russian language, or Italian, French, whatever language you are. Okay, then what?
The next is an email from Sedalia, Missouri. It says, I have listened...
Sedalia, Missouri, USA, okay? So our works are not just overseas in over 200 countries, but we're doing a big work for the Lord right here. The Lord is doing a fantastic work here in the U.S. of A. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
I have listened and enjoyed the tape messages, and I would like to be put on the mailing list and receive the Bible tapes, the Messiah book, and 20 copies of the following newsletters: Earthquake, Evil One World Government, Dry Bones, and Holiness. Signed, Eric from Sedalia, Missouri.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure our mail room has already gotten these items out to these people. Okay? Now, we want to, you know, the Bible tells of in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark about the different four classes of people, where he talks about the reason for it is he talks in parables because the people, the disciples, lacked understanding, and the book of Mark doesn't glorify the disciples at all. It tells them that they lacked understanding and wisdom, and so he talked to them. He talks about four different classes of people, and a lot of people are unresponsive to the gospel. They don't understand, they don't want to listen, they don't even listen to it, so there's no response out of them. And then there's the ones that are impulsive, that receive the gospel quickly, and they also fall away quickly. That's in the fourth chapter, verse 16. And, you know, this is the parable of the sowers. And then also he's talking about those that are preoccupied with the things of this world. And he also talks about those that are the seed of God, the Word of God is sown into people that are have a good spirit. They are not preoccupied with things in the world. They're not unresponsive. They respond to the gospel. And they're not impulsive. I mean, they listen to it and they consider it and weigh it out just as the disciples did. And then they... check it out. They pick up Bibles, King James Bible, or if you read in Hellenic Greek or Aramaic and Hebrew, you can read in there, and we can tell you the different Bibles to get. Don't read these new versions or these study Bibles because they're so full of heresy. They say that God loves you no matter what you do. You can sin, and people are getting tired of that phony doctrine. There's no truth to it whatsoever, and that you can never fall away. And I've got many proofs and many pieces of literature and many scriptures that I put in all my literature, some of them over 100, 250, 300 different backup scriptures to everything I tell you, to prove without a doubt that the doctrine that they're preaching is false. But anyway, we're going to start reading this piece of literature that the Lord gave me. God taught me the secret of spiritual defense, which actually is spiritual power. And the power to pull down storms. Like, you know, I'd like to be defended from a violent storm. And like when there is one, and we've seen tornadoes heading for us, and we just pray to the Lord, the Lord, stop that, you know, detour it, don't let it hurt anybody. And if people would have told me, you know, about different things that are happening, I'll pray for it, and I guarantee you, God will stop the storm, and God will stop the flooding, and God will, if there's a drought someplace, test me out. Test God. Because it's not me that does it. It's the Spirit of God. God listens to me. And why? Because I exalt His Word. And you want to know something? The Bible says that God is the Word. So when you're reading the Bible, you're not really reading a book. You're reading God. You're learning about God. You're learning to know Him. And to know Him is to love Him. How could you love somebody if you weren't able to know Him? The only way you can know Him is by reading his word, going into the schoolroom, and then testing his word to be sure that you go out of the actual schoolroom into the laboratory, as Jesus did with his disciples. He said, okay, I've taught you all these things on the Mount of Beatitudes, and now I'm taking you into the laboratory. Come on, let's go. And he started healing bunches of people. He stopped the storm. He walked on water. He raised the dead little girl. And all these things to prove that he was the Almighty God come in the flesh. He's the actual incarnation of the living God. Jesus extended his ministry by teaching. He extended his influence with others by teaching, and then by when he taught them, he went out and proved the things that he was teaching. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want you to just learn in the schoolroom. He wants you to go out and start proving the things that you've learned to be true. And these are the things that will really build your faith when you put, you get out of the schoolroom and get into the lab. Amen?
Amen.
Go out there and lay hands. I mean, if you're a person that really believes, I mean, not just, well, I'm going to see if it works. I don't really believe it. Then nothing is going to happen. But when I pray to the Lord, I pray very sincerely to him. And when I do, because he knows I believe him, I believe him more than anything in the world or in the universe. And I know that he's going to do what I ask him to do. When you believe God, he says, then whatsoever you ask, it shall be done. Amen?
Amen.
You just keep his commandments. Okay, so let's begin reading part one of God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense or Power. You can order this piece of literature. You can order this tape. It's free of charge. Go ahead.
The Lord started me off in the ministry by speaking to me audibly and with powerful signs, wonders, visions, and dream visions. He has caused me to go through many unusual encounters and a multitude of unusual circumstances.
Oh, when the Lord first talked to me, it was the most embarrassing thing in the world because I'm Jewish, and my real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I changed my name to Tony Alamo many years ago when I was a singer and in the entertainment industry. And he told me to start talking about Jesus, who I didn't even believe in a business meeting. And that was so embarrassing, but then he started pulling the breath out of me, and I told him, let me do it later, I'll write him. And he made me do it. He started pulling the breath out of me and making my heart pound, and I knew, and he showed me visions and opened up my knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and showed me that definitely it was him doing it. And I had to do something against my will. And when he put so much fear in me, my will became the will to do what he wanted me to do. And that's what we have to have, is so much will, so much fear of us, of God, that we begin doing not what we will, but what he wills. He said that we will not serve him unless we fear him. And so when he puts that much fear in us of him, not reverence, I'm talking about fear that'll cause your knees to knock together and you'll start screaming out to the top of your lungs, please don't kill me. And if you do kill me, Lord, don't send my soul to hell. Okay, that's the kind of fear that the Bible talks about. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that that's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, God just wants us to reverence him, revere him, rather. All right, because that isn't, you know, you have to revere him, but revering the Lord, fearing God, is a lot different than revering him. I fear, and Moses said he feared him so much that his bones quaked and the skin moved on his flesh. Okay, and there are many people in the Bible that feared him so much. There's a king when God gave him a sign of a hand, just a handwriting on the plaster of the wall, that his kingdom was over with that night. That man got so afraid that he went to the bathroom in his pants. A king of Babylon, the greatest kingdom of the earth at that time, and his knees, the Bible says, smote together. And until you have that kind of fear, you're not going to serve of God. You're not going to serve him. The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God. I mean, not reverence God, but to fear God and keep his commandments. When the angel talked to Mary, he says, fear not. Does that mean reverence not? Yes, we have to reverence the Lord, but when the Bible speaks of fear, it's fear. And when all the people of Israel, the entire nation, which is between 1.5 to 3 million people, were so afraid of God, they fell down on their face and said, Moses, don't let him talk to us anymore. You talk to him and then tell us what he said, okay? And don't shout it out so loud, please. Okay, because we're frightened of him. Well, that's the kind of fear I have of the Lord. That's the kind of fear that the Lord instilled in me. I have the real fear of the Lord because I've got the real God. I thank God that he put the real fear of God in me. The whole duty of man is to fear God, keep his commandments. Now, to keep his commandments are the other thing. Now, he commands us to cast devils out of people. Another thing that Jesus did, one of his four miracles in this chapter, was he cast the 2,000 demons out of Legion, this man that was possessed with many demons. He cast the 2,000 demons into 2,000 swine. And those demons went into, he said, suffer us to go into the hogs, the pigs, the swine. And so Jesus said, go. And they all went into those hogs, and they ran violently down a cliff into the water and choked themselves to death. And the people that were running these hogs, because that was an unclean animal and they were forbidden to eat such a thing because it's an abomination unto the Lord. And God, our body is the temple of God. And he doesn't want us to eat or touch any unclean thing, including prostitutes, loose women, crazy females. He doesn't want us to commit adultery or fornication. He doesn't want us to be homosexuals. That's extremely abominable to the Lord, and he blasted those homosexuals and all the evil people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Lord cast those demons out, and this was a performance. This was out. This was the laboratory. That wasn't the classroom anymore. He says, I taught you these things. Now watch. Watch me now. Amen?
Amen.
And he rose the girl up from the dead, the little girl. And he cast the demons out, and he said, peace be still to the storm. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And he healed the woman's issue of blood. Four of these major things that he taught them immediately after the Beatitudes. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this power is like shocking to the world, and this power still exists. It hasn't gone away. I'm not one of these huffer and puffers, you know, and I'm going to get up there and all this kind of stuff, because that is, I don't believe Jesus talked that way, or John the Baptist, or Moses, or Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or any of them. They talked in a plain manner to where you could hear them and understand them. Amen?
Amen.
The main thing is to learn the gospel, and to learn it for a reason. You're in the classroom learning it. Now let's get out into the laboratory and start showing people that the Word of God is true. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't put what you learn into action, then it doesn't have any meaning. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the main things that you must do is keep yourself under control. And Jesus proved that too. He never sinned. He kept his flesh under control, and he was in the same flesh that we are. And anyone that says that he isn't is a liar, because he was in the flesh. He was a human being. But God was in him. And you want to know something? We're human beings, but the Spirit of God enters us, and we become born again of the Spirit. And so we are also God-men and God-women, because it's not us that's God, but it's the Spirit of God in us. And there's where the power is. And if we believe in that power, the Spirit of God, and we believe the things that we've learned in the classroom, Then we can go out and show what we've learned to the general public, that God is still in the healing business, and that the same spirit that was in Jesus is in us, because Jesus said it was, and he calls us brethren, amen. So we're his brothers, and we're also the sons of God, okay, by virtue of him living in us. So don't be sitting by the wayside. Don't be somebody that the Word of God is unresponsive. Don't be unresponsive to the Word of God. That let the Word of God sink into your ears. Learn it, and then get out there and be part of this ministry. Have the same vision that the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to learn the gospel and then do it. Amen?
Amen.
And then all men will be drawn unto him, because they'll know that his teaching is true. If we're out there into the laboratory. Amen. Out of the classroom into the laboratory. He says, now you're going to be persecuted. But so what? So were the prophets before. So be happy. Rejoice that you are accounted worthy to be persecuted as I am, the Lord said, and the prophets. Because this is your ticket into the kingdom of God. All right, praise the Lord. Keep reading.
Also, God gave me a wife, a supernatural, godly, anointed wife, who died after 17 years of marriage. She had been in the ministry many years before my supernatural conversion to Christ. Both God and Susie put me through spiritual training roughly and very quickly. Everything was happening so fast that my head was barely able to keep up with it all. Along with all the new things I had to learn, I became co-pastor and co-participant in one of the most powerful revivals of all time.
Well, it is the most, since the days of Jesus, the Apostle Paul was apostle, this is the most powerful revival of all time. And this is the real stuff, people. This is the real stuff. This is the real deal, the real thing. Jesus is real. Amen?
Amen.
And not that we're special. God has taken a bunch of renegades, you know, and made us... we're the end of the body of Christ. I guess we're the feet or the toes. We're the last of those that are going to get saved. Susie would say we're the mop-up crew. We're the ones that's just cleaning up the last crumbs or details of things that have to be done here on this earth in the body of Christ. And then after that, it's all over, you know. So if you get into the body of Christ now, if you become part of the New Jerusalem, if you become part of the Lord's work, whether you're in India, Africa, or wherever, you're part of the greatest movement of God that's ever happened on the face of this earth. That's right. Because during the days of the disciples, you know, it was a big thing for 3,000 to 5,000 people being saved in one day. But now, throughout the world, there must be 50,000 to 100,000 people saved some days. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but now we just have to put the what we learn into action. We have to really believe the Lord in order for these things to happen. All right? And they are happening with me. I can testify to that. And, you know, I'm not in the show business to show you or anything any more than Jesus performed a song and dance routine for Satan when he was telling him to make loaves of bread out of rocks. I'm not about to do that. But if the Lord tells me to, I would, but so far he hasn't told me to do anything like that. But he has told me to raise the dead, and I have. He's told me to stop storms and to start rain when there was such a drought out here. People, when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, the guys said in the laundry room where I was working, if you want to call that work, he said, if you're of the Lord, he says, why don't you cause this heat to go away? Why don't you ask God to rain? I asked him, and the skies were perfectly blue. I mean, it was so hot that everybody was fanning themselves, and I asked the Lord, Lord, show these people that I'm a man of God. Cause it to rain. Let it pour. And so I walked from that part of the... I was looking outside. It was on the dock out there. And if the man at the prison in Texarkana where Honest, the one that works in the laundry, is a black man. He's in charge there. If he'd tell you, I walked from that dock there into the, about 100 feet away, and all of a sudden it was the biggest outpour that they've seen in years. It started pouring down. And many times I've stopped storms. They say they have a drought, and they're asking a bunch of people in Texarkana to pray that it rains. And they didn't ask me, and I don't have any farm over there, but the Lord didn't go around doing stuff like that. If they asked him, he would have done it, I'm sure. Okay, well, let's go ahead.
We made media headlines for years. There was a multitude of wild, sordid stories about us that made us shake our heads in wonder. For the first time in my life, I was doing something good. We were winning young people's souls to God, then taking care of them as though they were our own adult children. For this, we were being maliciously slandered by some of the people in government, the press, the media, and unspiritual, ignorant, and suspicious people.
We trace all these things, and all the people that were doing this were Catholics. Every single one of them. Then what else?
Many of them believed the lies that were said about us. At that time, almost every church and evangelist was preaching and teaching false doctrine. We knew we were the Reformation and Restoration ministry from God, and we knew they knew it. All this and millions of things more regarding our ministry and the opposition are history. The fallacies, all the lies about us have been taped, filmed, printed, etc. After Susie's death, while I was mourning for her, I was also given the duty of comforting the people of the church. Everything, so far as bringing the gospel to the entire world, may have seemed hopeless to most people, but I had God's life, power, and purpose embedded in me, and I knew it then just as I know it today. I knew our ministry would not go on in the same manner as it did before Susie's death. I knew our ministry was to the whole world, but how could this happen without Susie unless God helped me supernaturally? That is, gave me a lot of precise divine guidance. Before Susie died, I had taken her to Dyer, Arkansas, where she lived as a little girl, so she could be around some of her old childhood friends while she was so ill. We literally built a few small towns so the newly saved people could have a nice place to live and raise their children. It was there, after Susie's death, that I began crying out to God, saying, "O God, what am I going to do without Susie? What can I do for you without her?" The words came out of my soul, "O God, I have the desire to write gospel literature, but I don't have the anointing for it. O God, give me the anointing to write the meaningful gospel literature so that the whole world can read it and be saved. This anointing to write must come from you, O Lord my God. O God, let it be so. Father, give me the gift to write so I may be able to stand in defense of the gospel and defend us from all the lies some of the people in the media and the branches of the government are saying about us."
And not only that, Lord, I want to win souls. I know that you called me not to just sit around idle, but to win souls and give me power, unlimited power. Then what?
This prayer was an honest and fervent prayer from my heart. The Lord immediately answered me audibly, saying, "I will give you the ability, the gift, my anointing to write. You can and will be my messenger, but you will have to be willing to confine yourself indoors mostly to study and to seek me. Your knowledge of my word is excellent. You are not to be ashamed of what I tell you to write. If you distribute my word, you will not be destroyed. If you don't distribute the writings I give you, you will be destroyed. It is common knowledge that I have been imprisoned for doing what the Lord has told me to do. I have never been jailed or imprisoned for any real crime. One of these times, I was taken from the Fayetteville, Arkansas jail to the courthouse for trial in Fort Smith. On the last day of the trial, the jury went into chambers to decide whether or not I would go to prison for many years. I was taken back to the cell, and I prayed, "O God, don't let the jury say guilty. You are the God of all flesh," Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. "You are able to make them put the word not before the word guilty. O God, if I am sent to prison for years, how will I be able to do the things in the world that you have commanded me to do? Also, Lord, my little son Sion was just born while I was in this prison. I want him to know me, and I want to know him. I want to be a father to him, and I want him to be a son to me. If I go to prison, this will not be possible. O my Lord and God, make the jury say not guilty. The Lord answered my spirit, I will do what you ask if you will promise me five things.
This happened for, Sion is now 14 years old. He'll be about 14 and a half years old. He'll be 15 in July. Then what?
Yes, Lord, anything. Quote, 1. Write a new piece of literature each month. 2. Eat half the time. 3. Wash the feet of the brethren. 4. Be more tolerant with the brethren, a bit more patient. 5. Be a more conscientious husband to your wife. I promised the Lord that I would faithfully do all that he said, both because I've always been faithful to the Lord in doing what he says, and because I didn't want to go to prison. The Lord gave me the ability to write around 20 years ago, but I certainly hadn't written one message every month until the Lord commanded me to do so at that time.
Now, see, this is 20 years ago at the time that I wrote this piece of literature. Do you know when I wrote this literature? About how many years ago?
2002.
So it's been another 4 years. Okay. It's 24 years ago. Then what else?
Since then, I've written a gospel message from the Lord at least once every month, and have recorded hundreds of messages on tape, on the phone, in the church, and other places as well. As God commanded, I have fasted at least 12 hours a day all these years. Since then, I've done all the things the Lord commanded me to do. Immediately after my prayer to God, after receiving his instructions, and after my promise to do all he had requested, the U.S. Marshals said, "All right, Pastor, it's time to go back into the courtroom to hear the verdict of the jury." God knew that I meant business, and I knew that he heard and answered my prayer. As I was seated at the defendant's table, the jury filed into the courtroom to take their places in the jury box. People who were sitting in the courtroom with me said, "I think we've won. The jury is smiling, and they usually never do that when the verdict is guilty." But I knew in my heart, soul, and mind that there was no doubt that I had won when I vowed to God that I would keep all those five commandments. We did win. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that was that time. Then there was the IRS thing after that. They've had me in court so many times, and I've won every one of the cases, except when they pulled around, I forget how many, 10 to 15 different witnesses. They paid them to testify against me for the IRS case. And there was no truth at all told in that trial except what we told. Then what?
The victory was not only for myself, but for the church and the people who would be saved by the anointed messages which God would give to me. I've been writing new messages every month, and I have made sure that they are distributed throughout the world every month to this very day, just as I promised God I would. The Lord is the one who commanded me to write Holy Spirit-inspired literature.
Now, the Lord has just recently told me, just a few months ago, start reading the Bible, and then he turned me over to start reading your pieces of literature that I've given you on the air, and so I haven't been able to do tracks, so he got me off that. And so it isn't just like a cut and dry thing when the Lord tells you something. He may have changed your course, and that's what we're doing now, is I'm teaching the Bible, and then I've done many of the books of the Bible, and now he has me reading these pieces of literature because of blind people and people that don't have time to read. Okay, go ahead.
He told me, "They will know you are from me, the Almighty God, when you write the messages I give you and distribute them throughout the world. If you will do this, the world will feel my presence in what you write. Therefore they will know you are no cult, but are from me, Almighty God. If you don't like my messages, it is for sure God does. Otherwise he would never have compelled me to write them once a month. Let's not forget he's the one who gave them to me. If you don't love these messages, it is because you don't love God. If you love these messages, it is because you love God. What God said happened has happened. Millions of souls have been saved, and many millions more will be saved. Most of the name-calling has ended. I praise and I thank the Lord for his guidance, his direction, and his divine messages, his instructions for the entire world, which he is constantly sending through me in the church. If you will distribute these divine messages from God, God will not allow you to be destroyed. He will defend you and fight for you, just as he defended me and everyone else who has obeyed him and kept his commandments. These messages from him have proven themselves to be extremely effective in winning souls to him. However, if God's people will not obey the last words Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven, they will for sure be damned, destroyed. Jesus says it in these words, quote, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth to do this and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not that you are to go into all the world to preach or distribute the gospel shall be damned forever in hell." Unquote. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. Getting the word of God out to the people of the world, whether by teaching, preaching, or the printed page, is the sure way of victory and defense for you, for your family, for your friends, and for the world.
And as Jesus extended his influence by teaching, when you know the word of God, you'll extend your influence by teaching as well. I know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of respect for me that in this ministry that never had before by a teaching of the word of God. All right? Amen?
Amen.
We don't get much of that stuff anymore. There's always persecution, but not like before. Okay, go ahead.
These messages from God have already drawn millions of souls to the saving power of Jesus Christ. They are filled with God's power. Obedience to preach, teach, reprove, and rebuke with God's word is the way God gives Christians the power to maintain Christ's overthrow of Satan, which is the Lord's power in them over sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, death, hell, and the grave. These messages have restored to sincere people the depth and clarity of the Scriptures. Therefore, those who receive what God is saying in these messages are given back the power and authority over all things which Adam had given up to Satan in the garden, because they see that these messages are what God has always said. Surely, if you have studied God's word, you know that God will not tolerate disobedience.
All right, and so the thing that the Lord wants you to be obedient with first, I see our time is up, is for you to accept him as your personal Savior. To accept him as your power, so that you'll have the power of spiritual defense living right in you, so that you'll be the continuation of the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation right here on earth. And you can have that happen to you right now by saying this prayer. Now, we're going to pray now, so if you're in a car, automobile, just stop somewhere if you can alongside the road, or just stop whatever you're doing and let's pray. Now say this to the Lord, mean it with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you answered me, and I know I'm saved. And therefore, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, you ordered my literatures free of charge and tapes, whatever, to give you instructions on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how to live a godly life. And until tomorrow, where we're going to be doing part two of how God taught me the secret of spiritual defense or spiritual power. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, telling you, God bless you and praise the Lord. And this tape is free of charge or CD. Please specify. In Jesus' name, amen.